Sefer Pesach, Amud 179.
The Passover Booklet, page 179. The article, What is the Bread of an Evil-Eyed Man in the Work? Again, what is the bread of an evil-eyed man in the work? You can find it on Kabbalah Media.
Now, what we just talked about is how in man, his qualities, his friends, and he says it in a few articles, how's it written? He says you need to consult with your friends. Rabash explains it, that it's that he went to consult with them. That Abraham went to consult with. Yeah. With the Shkol, yeah. And then Rabash explains it, that he's speaking about his inner qualities. We're reading.
What is the bread of an evil-eyed man in the work? It is written in the Zohar, Shmot, Exodus, Rabbi Chiya started, "Do not eat the bread of an evil-eyed man, since it is not good to eat and enjoy the bread of the pleasure from that evil-eyed man." And had Israel not tasted the bread of the Egyptians when they went down to Egypt, they would have not been left in the exile in Egypt, and they would not be able to harm them. It says there is no evil bread in the world but the bread of the evil-eyed man. What does it say? Because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. This means that they could not look at the Hebrews eating, thus an evil-eyed bread. We should understand the prohibition of the bread of an evil-eyed man to such an extent that had Israel not tasted the bread of the Egyptians, they would not have remained in exile. This is very perplexing. What is the connection between the bread of an evil-eyed man and the exile? Why does it cause them to be in exile, implying this is a grave prohibition? Is it included in the negative mitzvot from the Torah or by our great sages that it warrants exile? To understand this in the work, we must always remember these two things before us. One, the purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. This reminds us that we must achieve wholeness and merit receiving the delight and pleasure found in the purpose of correction. Prior to this, a person is regarded as deficient because he has not achieved the purpose of creation and is still in the middle of the work. In Kabbalah, this is considered that a person should be rewarded with attaining the Neren Chai in the root of his soul. 2. The correction of creation. Since disparity of form creates separation, and since man was created in order to be able to receive the delight and pleasure, he must have a desire and yearning to receive pleasure. And that will to receive separates him from the root. Since the Creator wants to bestow, but the created beings have a desire to receive. This causes separation that removes the creatures from the Creator. Therefore, a correction took place called Tzimtzum and concealment, whereby the creatures cannot feel their root, meaning who created them. Before they correct the separation. It's written in the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, thus you find that this nefesh, the light of life that is dressed in the guf, extends from his essence, existence from existence. As it traverses the four worlds abiya, it becomes increasingly distant from the light of his face until it comes into its designated kli called guf. And even if the light in it has so diminished that its origin becomes undetectable through engagement in Torah and mitzvot, in order to bring contentment upon his maker, he purifies his kli called guf until it becomes worthy of receiving the great abundance in the full measure included in the thought of creation when he created it. Accordingly, we can understand that our work is to emerge from self-love, meaning that our sustenance should be from sustaining the body, so it has life and can enjoy life, not because the will to receive for oneself is enjoying, for it is called evil-eyed, meaning that it does not want to be a giver, but wants only to receive for itself. This is called evil-eyed, when it does not want to give anything to others and is immersed in self-love. This is called evil-eyed. Therefore, the nourishment that a person eats, which is called bread, are forbidden for a person to enjoy, as it is the bread of an evil-eyed man. That is, a person is enjoying and satiating himself on the bread of an evil-eyed man. That is, that which the evil-eyed man enjoys gives pleasure to the person. In other words, the will to receive, which is called evil-eyed, enjoys, and from this comes all the joy and high spirits that a person receives. This he does not agree to receive, because this pleasure causes him to part from the Kedusha, holiness, due to disparity of form. Now we can understand what we asked. Why is the grave prohibition of do not eat the bread of an evil-eyed man, for which Israel remained in exile? It is as it says, had Israel not tasted the bread of the Egyptians when they went down to Egypt, they would not have been left in the exile in Egypt. Exile means that the people of Israel could not work in order to bestow upon the Creator, but only in order to receive for themselves. This is called the exile in Egypt, when they could not emerge from their control and the will to receive for oneself dominated. This is why the Zohar says that if, when they descended to exile in Egypt, they had been cautious not to eat, meaning not to enjoy what the Egyptians enjoy, meaning the evil eye, which is the will to receive for oneself, they would not have come under their control in the exile. It follows that the gravity of the prohibition of an evil-eyed man is because his bread is entirely in order to receive, and this causes all the separation from Kedusha. This is the prohibition of do not eat the bread of an evil-eyed man. That is, all our work in Torah and Mitzvot is in order to emerge from the exile of the will to receive from ourselves. In other words, we must aim while engaging in Torah and Mitzvot that our reward will be that by this we will be rewarded with emerging from the exile and enslavement in the will to receive for ourselves, and we will be able to work only in order to bring contentment to the Creator. And we will not demand any other reward for our work in Torah and Mitzvot. In other words, we want to be rewarded with feeling while engaging in Torah and Mitzvot that we are serving a great and important king, and that by this there will be love of the Creator within us, from feeling His exaltedness. However, all of our pleasure will come from serving the Creator. This will be our reward, and not that He will somehow reward us for the work. Instead, we will feel that the work itself is the reward, and there is no greater reward in the world than the privilege of serving the Creator. Conversely, the bread of the Egyptians in the work is the complete opposite, as it is written, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Abomination comes from the verse, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians, meaning that they despised the shepherds. For this reason, the meaning is that the Egyptians despised the food of the Hebrews, since all the bread of the Hebrews, meaning their nourishment, was in order to bestow. And to the Egyptians, all the bread is evil-eyed, namely to receive. When they heard that the Hebrews' bread is to bestow, and bestow is loathsome and despicable, since when they must work in order to bestow and not receive for their own sake, they regard this work as despicable and they do not feel any taste in it. Therefore, as soon as the Egyptians heard that we must work in order to bestow, they came to feel that they must lower themselves, meaning that all their reason, which mandates that a person should see to his own benefit, and they cannot do anything that does not yield self-benefit. Therefore, when the body is under the governance of Egypt, as soon as it hears the slightest hint that we must work in order to bestow, it immediately despises this work and claims that it is still with all its wits and will not surrender and eat the Hebrews' bread. As for them, this bread is abomination, because this bread is against reason.
Questions? What's the difference between the bread of the Hebrews to the bread of the Egyptians, please? What is the difference between the bread of the Hebrews and the bread of the Egyptians?
The desire
of our whole world is Egypt, that only respects the will to receive, the results in the will to receive, the achievements in the will to receive, all will to receive. That is what is respected in the eyes of this world in Egypt. And what's respected in the eyes of the Hebrews is specifically the will to bestow, uplifting above the will to receive. It's completely different qualities. Where do we have the passage between this world and the upper world, from Egypt to Israel? How can we see it? How can humanity go through that point, that passage point?
Why? It's all up to us.
Rav, this passage will only be if either we publicize this method and then they can be drawn with their desire to receive to a spiritual goal, or by that they will discover trouble, shattering, in their corporeal state, or in the middle. What could be a transition point? Please.
Is
connect that.
Let's do the math the way it's with us. Each of us has his small little world and the point in the heart of his own. And how does it happen, each one of us? And as opposed to that, how can we imagine the entire world as being the point in the heart? What kind of relation should there be? Relationship should there be in order for people to start moving toward the meaning of life? Please. From the particular, we'll learn about the general. Talk about it.
Rav, questions? None. Very nice. What do you want?
It says in the article about feeling loathsome about that. If I start feeling that bestowal is loathsome, how do I get rid of it?
So it's true. You're right. For a healthy person, bestowal is something unnatural. Yeah.
At first, it didn't disturb me. It seemed nice. Gradually, you start being repulsed by it.
That means that you're more and more in Egypt, that the water you see grows more and more. And if in the beginning you would agree with all kinds of things Kabbalah says, what it means to bestow, to love the others, to connect with the friends, afterwards you can't listen to this, you can't even look at them. Yeah. Along with that, you understand that it's true. Two opposites. It is true, but I am in a lie, and I prefer the lie. I have no choice. Until it reaches the two ends, that I feel that I must reach bestowal, otherwise I'd rather be dead than alive, on one hand. On the other hand, I can't. Because, how do I say it? I'm all absorbed by Pharaoh. Yeah? And these two opposite forms that are revealed, I'm willing to explode.
Being what?
A solution that they cry out and they scream. And before that, all the cries and screams and prayers are just like that, a preparation.
If I know that the will to receive is bad for me, how is it possible that it constantly defeats the intention of wanting to bestow?
So what if you feel bad? There are a lot of things that I think that are bad, but I remain with these habits. I smoke, I'll eat something sweet, I become fat, instead of sports, I'd rather lie down on the couch, right? I see Alex there is smiling. And he understands me. And so on. What? Doesn't mean anything. It's not recognition of evil. Recognition of evil is that I can't touch this. I'd rather be dead than alive. That's the true recognition of evil. Okay? Okay. Questions? None. Everybody's calm. Everybody's already... Yeah. Vlad, what?
When does a person really discover the need to enter a 10?
He enters because all the others say that that's what's written, and we'll get into the 10 because that's how we do it. Otherwise, we won't advance. Okay, 10. Sit with more people, another 5 or 9 friends. I'll do it. Speak, blah, blah, blah. I'll do that. That still doesn't mean that he entered a 10. To enter a 10 means to annul towards 9 friends that I am a 0 completely, complete 0. Yeah.
In the end, these are the 7 years of satiation. This is entering the 10.
I don't know. That doesn't matter. Once I reach the complete zero, that more than that, there's nothing. You know what the complete zero is, right? There's like a negative temperature that there's nothing below it. For heat, there's no limit. But if you go to the cold, there's a complete zero. Why? Because their motion stops. There's no more energy that moves the particles, and everything stops. Supposedly, we don't really reach it, but you can't reach that in our vessels, in our technology, but almost. And then, imagine that, to such a state you reach, that you have no way to take, to move at all. It's a nice state.
It's the complete annulment of the will to receive.
Let's say complete annulment.
That there is nothing, and there is just the point in the heart, another nine of them. He discovers that there are the other nine points.
That's attainment that I don't reach what I must reach, which is before me, and I don't reach it if I don't completely annul that from me, nothing is left of me. Nothing. Except for a spark that I can't do anything about. But all the sparks around it are annulled till nothing. Till zero. And then I integrate. Well, that's already a very high state.
Included in what? Included in the 10, a spiritual 10? Yeah, then I receive these 9 bechinot spiritually, completely. And these 9 bechinot, it's also, he discovers that it is within him.
It speaks only of the true perception of reality, which is only within man. There is nothing outside of man. There is nothing. What we attain within us.
And then he says that there's no other advice, no other counsel, but love of friends. And this is where love of friends begins, inside, in that point, where a spiritual 10 begins.
Yes.
In our state, what is this work of taking the vessels from the Egyptians and working with those desires?
You are able to receive, which you take and start working with, just like the point in the heart forces you to, that the Egyptians will bend over towards the point in the heart, that is considered that you took the Egyptian vessels and you advance.
Yeah, but there's a researcher today, I feel 1% of my will to receive, and I have to come and feel 100%, so there's this kind of work here.
You don't need to feel 2%, 1%. It's not you who dictates that. You do dictate how your will to receive will be subjugated to your will to your point in the heart.
So how do I dictate it?
By importance, by the greatness of the host, of the Creator. The point in the heart belongs to Him. That is a godly part from above.
And how is it related to the work in Egypt?
Only towards the work in Egypt, you can grow the point in the heart. Because to start with, it has nothing. Our desire to bestow is just a point. And only by raising that same point above all of your egoistic desires, you increase it accordingly until it perceives the entire reality. And that means that you reveal the Creator that governs the entire reality.
So what happens first? First, I discover another piece of the will to receive, and
you first discover the point in the heart. And when you do, then from that, you begin to gradually discover the will to receive, and you crown the point in the heart above it.
So what makes me reveal another layer, another slice of the will to receive?
By preparing the point in the heart. That is considered that you have an ascent, and according to that ascent, what you get from above is a descent.
In this morning, during the morning in the workshop, you asked, if Israel have to go down to Egypt in order to serve the whole world, this is what I heard during the workshop.
right? Because Israel themselves, they are the same point in the heart that's in the entire world, and they themselves don't require such a large will to receive. They don't need it. They only, while they go down to Egypt and acquire all the vessels of all the world, and they first rise above these vessels, they get a method called Torah, and they start working with that method, then they come to the first temple, the second temple, and the third temple. But that is what? Is a remembrance of the Exodus. All of the mitzvot, all the commandments are a remembrance of the Exodus, that you correct gradually what you had in Egypt until the end of correction.
So that true feeling that we have to serve the entire world, we can come to it after going through this entire process?
No, you must do it now, in the last generation now. You're not entering the last generation in practice if you don't join the entire world to you. Otherwise, what were all these shatterings for, the first and second temple? The first temple was destructed on the Mochin de Chaya. The second was shattered in the Mochin of Chaya. We need to reach the complete temple. The third one, which is more than the previous two, that's called Mochin of Yechida. And that can be only on the condition that you awaken all the vessels of the entire world. All of the Pharaoh in whole is awakened in you, and you, with the entire world, make the correction. That's what Baal HaSulam writes at the end of the introduction to the Book of Zohar. That's why the whole world now is awakening towards the Jews.
But we see, I can see it on myself, and we see it on Jews and the people of Israel, that we don't feel the sorrow of the world.
Oh, Israel, of course they don't. Of course they don't. The world will and will force Israel, either in a good way or a bad way. Good way through you or a bad way through blows.
So what do I have to do in order to feel and care about what happens in the world?
To listen to what I'm saying to you. I don't know. To read what Baal HaSulam writes to you. All of the Kabbalists from all generations, and especially Rav Kook, Baal HaSulam, Rabash.
Intellectually, I understand it, but emotionally, I can read a newspaper. A million people died, and I don't really care about it.
Yep, I understand you. Because even if you doesn't bother you, you're even happy. If they're dying, then by that I'm raising, like in the stock market, my stocks.
My shares, yes.
Yep, my shares, they rise. The more people die, then my shares increase in value. That's what a person feels. It's a regular egoistic person like you. Yep. Oh, Yochai.
My teacher, good evening.
Good evening.
Because of what this guy here said and what you asked before, if people will want to come closer to each other in this wisdom and study, it'll have to go through blows and such things?
Either internal blows or external blows, one of the two, it has to be. Internal blows are faster and more focused, and they bring to the purpose in a short way. Or, if a person isn't interested in them, then against his will, external blows come upon him.
But if we wrap it, the purpose and everything, with questions that people are interested about, with lies and something sweet.
Why lies? You can say, we didn't want to connect, we didn't want to reach correction at the beginning of the 20th century, the Holocaust came. Now you don't want to connect, you don't want to reach correction, then wait and you'll see what will happen. There's no choice. The process is very simple. The software is simple. There are two forces, and one needs to be on top of the other one. Either the will to receive is on top of the will to bestow, or vice versa. Yes.
But such an approach, I don't think it's going to work.
No, I'm not saying that's how you should go and explain it, but that is what needs to happen.
I agree with you, but this is what's going to happen.
Well, you're asking me how to explain it?
Exactly. So how do you wrap it?
More articles on the internet in different places, different languages, to try and write an open letter to the president every month. Start really start working in such a way. Yes.
And let's say you want to bring it down to their level. Why they feel terrible, why people are lonely, things that bother them, and you know it bothers them, and everyone is going through the same thing. And talk to them in a simple way.
I can't give them a remedy for their illnesses or concrete troubles they have in life. I'm giving them a general remedy. If you want goodness, this is the only way. General, global. I cannot explain to them, you have a headache, take a pill against headaches. That is given by a doctor. We don't do that. We say all of the problems are from the egoistic will to receive. And we can fight against it. The remedy is if we unite and stand up against it, and we ride it, if we ride the will to receive and not the other way around. That's it. But it's not that every problem a person or a housewife or someone has in life that they're suffering, that I'll give him a personal, tailored solution.
Clearly not. What I mean is, yeah, all of our problems stem because we behave to each other this way, that this is the relationship that we have, and we need to resolve, we need to correct the relationship between us, but in a simple way. This is what I mean.
What does it mean, simply?
You have to talk to people in a way they can understand. Will to receive, will to bestow. No one is going to listen to that.
So what? Let's hug, let's connect.
No, tell them about their problems.
Problems they know. What else?
And then to explain to them in a very simple way. On me, it works. When you're talking on the lowest level, most simple way.
Okay, continue. If you succeed in that, teach others.
I have something, but I can't express it. Never mind.
Soon it will happen. Okay. Except for Chaim, we don't have anyone.
To continue what our great Yochai said, we have 100,000 gifts which Dudi and his team prepared, and it is wrapped very nicely, as Yochai says. It is wrapped with a very pleasant explanation, many examples, many colors and pictures, and Passover is right before us, and we have 100,000 such gifts. We deliver them throughout Israel. We have to go and hand them over with a smile in happy way, and people will read it during the holiday and understand.
Is 100,000 enough? I don't know. It's not that much. I wanted to ask you guys.
It depends on our desire.
So it depends on the quality of delivery?
Also the quality, because with all the preparations for Passover, Lushinsky and more friends who really understand what we're facing, we have decided together to put it in front of people's doors, from door to door. And that is the best way to reach such numbers of 100,000. If we will see during the holiday that we could cover it and we delivered 100,000 newspapers, we will print some more.
Okay. What else are we doing, Esther?
We have two options next.
Do you want to continue Pticha, like we did it off by heart? Or, in another way, who wants to continue Pticha? And who wants to continue something else? Say, Zohar, for example. And what else? What do you want to do? Pticha? Okay, I already saw you. Well, what else? More Pesach articles. Okay, let's do it.
So we have two options. One is either Baal HaSulam, Exile or Redemption.
Page
32.
Don't give me these options or those options. We don't want to be in doubt. There's an order, we do it. Yes.
Okay, so it's page 32 in Hebrew, Exile and Redemption. There is a question first about the evil eye bread. It is as if the Egyptians, they bestow in order to receive. Is it correct to understand it this way, that the Egyptians bestow in order to receive?
To receive in order to receive and to bestow in order to receive.
And the Hebrews cannot, they cannot bestow in order to bestow, and they cannot bestow in order to receive.
From that point, yes.
And what is that state? Is it something?
They haven't yet reached bestowal, and they can't yet work on reception.
And they're stuck.
They're stuck, and then it's like, it's like in the sea of the Red Sea, and then there are critical points that from this cry they can exit. Do we have this booklet in Spanish as well? We don't. Only a few of the articles are translated. Okay, we should, at least on the internet, so they'll be connected, not in a form of a book. Okay, let's do it.
We have what we looked for before about Abraham consulting with his friends.
Yep, and there Rabash writes that it's the friends in within him.
And it is an article, and God appeared before him in Alon Membre. First excerpt, when the Creator told him to circumcise himself, then he went to consult his friends, meaning his body, since the body needs to perform the action. Therefore, he asked his body if he agrees or he shouldn't fulfill the Lord's commandment, because in the body, this is where men's friends are, meaning the desires which are together in the connection of the body. This is what he has to ask them, because they have to keep this commandment of the Creator. And then, when he will know their opinion, he will be able to know what to do. Another one is, what the Zohar says, that Abraham went to consult his friends, it is the Abraham's own body. The body needs to keep the commandment. Therefore, he asked the body, what does he think, in order to know what he should do. Meaning, if he has to go cursively with it, or if they agree to what the Creator told him. And saying that he went to consult his friends means the three souls in his body, which are his friends, which is always with.
We need to gradually start getting used to these ideas. They're awakened in us, all the thoughts and desires and responses, and they slowly, slowly bring us closer to the true perception of reality. That other than the person, there is nothing. Everything takes place in man, in his body, and that is all. By the way, I saw an interview with a brain scientist, with a neuroscientist, and he said a few things that were to the point. He's completely secular, not Israeli. So he said that the brain we don't have a brain. Our brain is just a connector with some general mind. And desires, they're not our desires. They're, in short, he spoke very, very abstract. Not really practical, but a lot more abstract than what scientists usually talk about. And he's a neuroscientist, a researcher in that field.
When we say that the body resists and asks question, or I'm asking him, body, goof is the will to receive, right? But what is this argument? What, does it have a mouth? I don't feel such a war in me when I'm asking that he resists.
It never happens to you that you, well, say, you wake up in the morning and on the one hand you know that you need to put on tefillin and pray. What are you laughing at? That's what you want. You understand that this is what should be done. On the other hand, you couldn't be bothered, you don't want to, when you're in this inner battle. What do you then do?
The body is like a donkey. If needs to, you do, and if not, you don't. There's not such a great battle here.
Really? Oh, it doesn't really matter what the battle is, to put on tefillin or to do anything else that's inconvenient for the body. At 11:30, they tell us to go into Zoom. That could be the...
Who is me, or who am I? I'm not a body.
Just ask a concrete question.
Who am I and who is the body? I don't belong to the body.
I don't know. Figure it out yourself. Like Abraham went to consult with his friends, then you too should consult. Exile and redemption, yes? Okay,